Metzger's Farm in Bethel, New York. It's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, retired statesman and well-loved author, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a man who doesn't sweat even on the hottest day, Richard J. Ringhausen. And marksman, sculptor, trainee fry cook, the seven-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who can walk on his hands without getting them dirty. The youngest of the Ringhausen brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Going up the country.
Exactly.
Can't he? Just can't he? Can't he?
He's not specifically too good. He suggested that you do stay away from that. Of course, it's your own trip, so be my guest, but please be advised that there is a warning on that one, okay?
It's your trip.
You stated in our opening that you're a retired statesman.
Yeah.
Do you ever really, I mean, once you're a statesman, you're pretty much there, aren't you?
Statesman, yeah.
You'd have to kind of fall into the bad graces of the community.
Disrepute.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, you can even come back from that. You know, Nixon pretty much resigned in disgrace.
He did.
But as the years went by, you know, when they would have some big state event and they'd drag out the old presidents, he'd show up. They'd let Nixon show up there.
You know, there's that famous film clip of the day that he resigned, and it shows him pulling away in the limo and him rolling the shaded window up.
Yeah.
He should have been given the fingers. He's rolling it up.
Well, that's after he rolled it up.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
Grandpa Ringhausen.
Oh, we were. Yeah, okay. Before the show started, we were talking about...
The Ringhausens are long-time, multi-generational orchardists.
Palmologists.
Horticulturalists. And Grandpa ran the orchards before we were ever born.
And his father before him, and his father before him, and...
Right, exactly.
Whatever.
All the way back to the Civil War. And Grandpa ran the orchard, A.J. Ringhausen, A.J. Ringhausen and Sons, and then...
Before that, it was A.J. Ring... No, it was the Ringhausen brothers, I think. But it was A.J. and Bill.
Him and old Bill, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Bill had a son.
Little Bill.
Little Bill. Exactly. By the time that we were working in the orchard, Grandpa had already pretty much turned the reins over to his sons, Casey and Joe, our dad.
Right.
And... But Grandpa still worked in the package shed some.
He'd come hang out, yeah.
He'd come hang out there. And he'd play cards with him once in a while before he died.
But, you go to visit him, and he'd just, you know, get up, grab a deck of cards, and start dealing.
And he would...
And you had no choice but to sit down and play Pinochle.
Correct, because that's what you did for your grandparents. And Grandpa would say whatever was necessary to play Pinochle, you know, whatever his bid was.
And nothing more.
But I don't remember him ever saying anything else.
He'd say that.
But, yeah, by the time that we were there, Grandpa stopped talking. Apparently...
I can remember he would stop by, like, the house out at the farm.
Yeah.
And he'd show up, come in the door, and he'd have candy bars. Powerhouse candy bars for each of us. And he'd hand out the candy bars, and off we'd run to eat our candy bars, and that was it. He didn't say, you know, hey, thanks, Grandpa, you know, and then he wouldn't respond.
So what are you kids up to today? What's going on with you?
How's school? What's your favorite subject? Nothing.
No, it's as though he reached the stage of his life where he had said...
Enough.
Everything that he had to say, and there wasn't any point in just saying it over and over.
Right. And you didn't have to carry on a conversation with with Granny Ringhausen because she talked to herself.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because Grandpa stopped talking. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember him ever having a discussion with her.
But we were talking about this, and I said the only conversation I can remember him having is he told one story, and that's all I remember.
That's one more story than I got out of him. Let's hear Grandpa's
and
story.
It was about stealing chickens. He said that when he was a boy, and he grew up in town, in the town of Hardin. And he said, you know, he would run around town with this group of friends, kind of like a gang. And he said, and their thing that they liked to do is they'd have a chicken roast, is what he called it. I said, what? He said, a chicken roast. He said, we would, pick out a chicken house and... And one of us would go in and grab a chicken, and then we'd go out and build a fire, and we'd roast the chicken. We'd eat a chicken.
Like Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn?
Like hobos, yeah. And I said, well, you didn't get in trouble for that? He said, well, he said, every kid in school had a pocket knife. And, you know, we'd use our pocket knives to clean the chicken and cut it up and eat it. You know, just roasted chicken. I said, you didn't put anything on it? He said, no, just roasted chicken. And he said, one day at school, our teacher, Mrs. Beyond Johnson, whatever, holds up a pocket knife, says, who dropped their pocket knife? And he said, everyone was just searching around, and I realized it was my pocket knife, so I said, well, it's mine. She said, stay after school. I found that in my chicken house last night.
Dun, 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 dun.
Guilty as charged.
Dun, 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 dun.
That was the end of the chicken roast. That was the only story he ever told.
I don't think I ever even heard that one.
And the reason that came to mind is because I was talking about my pocket knife earlier. Do you carry a pocket knife?
I do not carry a why would I carry a knife?
Well, you claim that you're a farmer.
Yeah, so.
And a horseman and
farmer,
all these things.
Farmers,
you know?
don't, that's a thing of the past. They don't carry pocket knives.
I think you're wrong. I think just about every farmer carries a pocket knife. I bet Dad carries a pocket knife.
But he doesn't.
I bet he does.
You don't tip him off. Next time we see him, I'll ask him if he's got a pocket.
Do you have a pocket knife? He's let's see, where's it at? Oather has my pocket knife.
Yeah, I know. And Oather's in the grave.
Oather carried two pocket knives. He had his good pocket knife, like I have my good pocket knife, that he carried for years and years and years. And then he always had a piece of crap pocket knife that would loan to Dad because he knew Dad was going to lose it or break it or, you know.
Or use it to cut wire.
Yeah, he'd never see it again. Or he's going to pry something and it breaks the blade off. You know, it never worked out.
I do remember having pocket knives with the blades broken off of
them. Yeah, there's a lot of those. But this one that I've got is particularly thin.
Looks like a pig sticker.
It's a particularly thin knife. It's small, but it's got a fairly long blade for a small, sleek knife, and it holds holds an edge, so it's got to be hard to steal.
How many times have you closed the blade and sliced the little piece of skin between your thumb and your forefinger?
Never in my life. Have you ever accidentally cut yourself with a pocket knife?
Oh, yeah.
I have. I did. You know, you ever, I don't know, we were playing around, you know, like flipping knives to where they'd stick in the ground, you know what I'm
yeah.
talking about?
Well, yeah, when you're a kid, you have to be able to master that
art. And I kind of screwed up, and I was going to catch it.
Oh, that's a mistake.
Stuck right in my wrist. The scar is still there right there.
To where you could...
The knife was sticking out. Yeah, like I wasn't holding on. It just holding up by itself.
Like that scene in The Young Frankenstein?
Yes.
When he stuck the scalpel in his leg
yep.
and then takes his hand away and it's stuck there.
Yep. Puts his hand back on it. But in my case, I pulled it out very quickly. But apparently didn't dig into any of the main cords or anything like that. So
did blood
right.
just spray out like
yes,
that?
Yes, it did.
Really?
Just yeah. It was a squirter. So anyway, that's my good pocket knife. I had this one. So you carry a pocket knife till you lose it, right?
Yeah.
Or break it or, you know, whatever. But this one I've had longer than I've had any other of my regular carrying pocket knives. And you got other knives that you know, are just for show. But then you got your daily user. See who that is.
You need to answer that.
Hello?
It's on your side over there.
That's okay. Hello?
Hello.
This Doyle?
This is Doyle McIntyre. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Doyle. What's going on? How's business?
I am the owner and operator of Amalgamated Murgatroyd, your hometown explosives supercenter store. Well, here it is, almost fall already, and you will be wanting to get your blasting done before Jack Frost starts to paint his frost on your pumpkins. Well, don't wait. Come on down and stock up your explosives pantry. We've got plenty of diatomaceous earth, which you might know as sea light or casage girl. And in addition to both distilled crystal nitroglycerin and mercury fulminate, with the industry's longest absorptive storage ratings. So come on down to our newly repaired showroom right across the street from St. Boniface Urgent Care. First 20 customers receive a free carton of silver azide blasting caps. Thank you for your business.
You have a good 4th of July trade?
It was brisk this year.
That's good to hear. Everything go fine at the new rebuilt facility?
Mostly. Thank you.
Thank you, Doyle. Appreciate the call.
All right. Well, that's interesting.
You know, let me tell you something interesting along Doyle's line of work.
Yeah.
You know, I for years and years, I was involved in property acquisitions. And part of the due diligence in buying any piece of property is to make sure there's nothing there that could present a liability issue or a danger or a hazard or anything. So we always have these environmental reviews.
So you bring a bunch of teenage boys to go scout around to see if there's anything dangerous?
We go a little deeper than that. We actually hire an environmental engineer to come in and review a piece of property and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, there's different levels of that. There's phase one, phase two, and then once you get, if you don't pass phase two, you probably don't want it. But, you know, most of the time it's nothing. You know, it's a piece of farm ground or, you know, there's nothing out there. But I bought a piece of property one time that was a former dynamite and nitroglycerin factory site.
Don't you like that? I just love the thought of a dynamite factory.
Yeah. What's your job? Well, I work down at the dynamite factory.
Make nitroglycerin.
Yeah, make nitro.
So did you have to go to college for that? Nope. Just grade school.
What are the qualifications? Steady hands. That's it. Nerves of steel.
And wait until after your work to drink.
No smoking most of the day.
That's what Doyle said. How'd things go? Good, mostly.
Yeah, well, I think he did. But the site was contaminated, but it wasn't.
That contaminated.
It wasn't nitroglycerin. It wasn't dynamite. It wasn't like there was buried supplies of it that you were going to push a shovel into and ignite the whole thing. It was the factory itself, the facility. All the plumbing was lead pipes, and so there were traces of lead still on the property, and that was the. Of course, you know, you may scoff at that, but that's what brought down Rome.
Lead pipes.
Yep.
I don't think
no,
so.
No, I think it was.
I think having a bunch of barbarians come in and burn the place had something to do with it.
Yeah, but so many of the Romans had died off or gone crazy from lead exposure over the years that they were weak.
And the barbarians were strong.
Yes. They were drinking out of a creek. The Romans were drinking out of lead pipes. Hmm. Killed them. It's a fact.
Did you just hear
a look
ding?
It up.
Did you just hear a ding?
I thought I heard a siren. Ding. What am I hearing?
I don't know. Go ahead.
Is it safe?
Hey, do you remember? You first.
Okay, I got a friend of mine who is who's a travel advocate, and as his travel, he has chosen to make it his goal to visit every single national park in the United States of America.
Good goal.
And there are 64. And he right now is at his 64th. He's finishing up. And then, you know, what are you going to do then? You know, he's just going to sit at home. looking at old pictures. Hey, honey, remember when we were at...
he's going to be like Grandpa Ringhouse and not say
nothing. Just stop talking. He's accomplished his goal, and now he's done.
There's no reason to discuss it.
Now he's going to focus on TV. But he had gotten down
time to die.
He had gotten down to just a few, you know, like there's a couple of them up in Alaska that are really hard to get to.
Yeah, the Gates of the North is really...
You have to charter a bush plane that they land in, like creek beds or open spots in fields and stuff like that. And you just step out and say, been there, and get back on before the grizzlies get you. But one of his other last ones was America Samoa. And America Samoa has its like own set of house rules. You know, it's an island, and it's hard to get to it. But he said that when you get to American Samoa, he said there's nobody wants to move there to live. He said, but to own property in American Samoa, you have to be a Samoan.
That doesn't seem right.
It doesn't.
If it's America.
But it's their island rules that you have to have some lineage. It's like that guy being in the House of Lords over in England. Yeah. You have to have lineage that says you're a Samoan or you're half Samoan or quarter Samoan or something like that.
164th Samoan.
That's Native American. This is totally different. This is Samoa. He said, but he couldn't get off of Samoa quick enough. He said,
no reason to stay.
No reason to stay.
I don't know what made you think of that. I guess you mentioned about the grizzly bears, right?
Yeah.
This is apropos.
Like they're just waiting for tourists to land.
This is apropos to nothing. But the wife and I watched a movie called Death of a Unicorn. Have you seen that or know anything about it?
Uh-uh.
Okay, it's Paul Rudd. And who's the little chick that played Wednesday in the TV series, Jenna Ortega?
She played what?
She played Wednesday Adams in a... remake of Wednesday Addams. In any event, that has nothing to do with nothing. They're driving along, right? And it started the movie, and they hit an animal. Poof! They get out, and it's a unicorn that they've run over. A little unicorn. And it's badly injured, you know, and it's like laying on the ground, kind of moaning and flopping around a little. And, you know, you kind of want the girls, oh, it's a unicorn. And you kind of wonder where it's going to go from there. And Paul Rudd takes a tire iron and beats it to death on camera. It just struck
not me. What you were expecting.
It's not what I expected. It turns out it's like a horror movie and that there's a family of unicorns and they just attack and kill people. It's the dangest thing.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. That's an interesting twist.
It was.
Now you've just ruined
twist.
It for me. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. But it's just something. It's just something about seeing someone beat a unicorn to death with a tire iron that makes you think. Well, there's something I never expected to see in the movies.
Huh. What an interesting twist.
We've been seeing a lot of movies. Saw Superman, the new Superman movie.
Yeah.
You see that?
No, but we talked about this like a couple weeks ago, didn't we?
I don't know if we talked about it on the air or not.
Okay.
But one of the scenes in it is showing how Lex Luthor is manipulating social media, right?
With the monkeys?
Yeah. He's got 1,000 monkeys typing insults about Superman in the back room.
Don't you figure that's what's going on at those monkey farms that we've talked about in the past anyway?
Yes. You know, you think that... that they're all sitting there going to type the works of Shakespeare, right?
They're just randomly tapping out stuff, like the Matrix, right?
Yeah, and well, that's the thing they say, that, you know, given enough time and enough monkeys, they would randomly type out the entire works of Shakespeare. There's an episode of The Simpsons where Montgomery Burns has a big warehouse full of monkeys sitting at typewriters typing. And he starts reading one of them, and it's like the first page of one of Shakespeare's works. And it gets to some point where then it's just a line of gibberish, and he has the monkey, like, shocked.
Okay. Have the Rolling Stones killed.
That was the Ramones, right?
Yes, that was Ramones. So it reminded me of that. It was you were wearing a Ramones shirt at the produce market the other day.
Yeah.
How'd that go over?
Big time. People like the Ramones.
Yeah? Do they?
No.
Do young people even know who they
were?
They
don't know who they are.
Wow. They're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. As well they should be.
The Monkees aren't.
No, but Dolly Parton is.
And the Monkees are busy typing out the works of Shakespeare.
I know. She got the Monkees. No, you don't have the Monkees on. You just have one monkey up here.
Yeah. That's back when Greg was still in the podcast.
Who's Greg?
He sits at
home.
How
quickly they forget.
He sits at home and doesn't talk anymore.
Right. But he listens to these and starts shaking it, angered. Lisa! Another beer!
Bring me some of those little bottles of liquor you stole from the airline.
Drank them all! Those are the days. Becca, there was a time when you could ride on an airplane, drink hard liquor, and smoke
a cigarette.
Smoke, you know, just regardless of how the other people felt about cigarettes, you were puffing and smoking and just... The cabins on those things had to just fill with smoke.
Yeah, because there's nowhere for it to go.
Nowhere for it to go. It's a sealed cabin. Fascinating.
I was flipping through the worldwide interweb.
Right? Yes, yes.
And
and what magic did you uncover, Rick?
The magic I uncovered was a clip of Irene Ryan and Bea Benedict, Granny and Cousin Pearl.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And it's a black and white clip from the Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, and they're in between. They're just like on set. They're not actually...
No, it's a
shooting
a
clip?
Okay. No, it's a clip from the show.
Okay.
And they're arguing about that Pearl's going to use the oven to make biscuits and Granny's going to throw the biscuits away.
Okay.
And they're getting into a big fight where they're ready to duke it out. And Jed comes in and tells them both to calm down and gives them each a Winston cigarette.
Gives them each a cigarette.
And it's a commercial for Winston cigarettes.
Oh, they love to do...
The Beverly Hillbillies are doing in character as part of the show.
They love to do product placement on the Beverly Hillbillies. I mean, big time. They always have cornflakes sitting on the table.
And Jethro would eat a big bowl of cornflakes.
Always.
But this was a...
That's kind of blatant, isn't it?
Well, it was an actual commercial that they... wasn't part of the show, but they... did it, I mean, for the show.
I thought you said it was a clip for the show.
Well, they were in character, and it was set. I mean, it was as though it were a scene from the show.
Okay.
And they all calmed down, had a smoke. You don't see that as much anymore.
No. But, you know, you had, in the day, you had a lot of famous people endorsing smoking.
Yeah. Well, that's because it was good for you.
Well, yeah.
Until in the 60s, they started making cigarettes that kill you.
What the heck? If they didn't put all those additives in it, it'd be natural. It's a plant that grows.
Natural herb.
Yeah. Just don't do anything.
Cures everything.
Yeah. I mean, your Native Americans were smoking tobacco.
Yeah. They're all dead now.
The Aztecs and the Mayans, they all grew tobacco and they smoked it.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah, you're right. They're all dead.
And they only lived to be about 25 years old.
Yeah, I'd squeeze in a few smokes, too, if you know, my life expectancy was 25.
You know, if you think about it, back in, like, ancient Rome in those days, you know, your life expectancy really was...
Like 30.
30.
Maybe.
Like when Jesus was doing his thing...
He was an old man.
He would have been an old man. You know, you always see like the Pharisees with the long white beards and that they're like 50 or 60 years old. People didn't live that long.
Right.
I mean,
I guess I figure if you lived to be that long, you were probably wise in some way. So they made you an elder.
You know, and the Bible says that Jesus started teaching at age 30, right? He waited till the end. If you only lived to be 30 years old.
Okay. What were you doing at 30?
Raising a family.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I hear you.
I was state's attorney of Jersey County. Thank you very much.
All right.
I've lived another 30 years since then.
Okay.
And then some change.
Okay.
Time to start smoking.
I think at 30 I was smoking. And I outlived it.
Yeah, I know.
You know, there are. Wait a minute. Didn't we talk about this a couple episodes ago about when you once you get to a certain age, you're going to start go back to some of your bad habits, like eating steak every day or bacon every day?
Yeah, I have every intention of doing that anyway. It doesn't have to wait till 80 to do that. No, when I tag the shows, you know, and post them online,
yeah,
I'll have a little, just a little hint of what's in it.
Yeah.
And like episode 114, in which
Time to start smoking.
In which the Ringhausen brothers discuss the proper age to begin smoking.
Yeah, okay.
It says something like that.
For some reason, I thought it was 14.
My wife thought the same thing, yeah, okay. So.
I don't know if that's true or not.
We had a baby shower.
Okay,
here at the house the other day.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay,
you're into a baby shower.
I know that they exist, and I have a general idea of what goes on at them, but I've not participated in one myself.
Yeah, you don't need to. If you're the guy, you don't need to.
Nah, it's not part of your responsibility.
Although, you know, so
your responsibility is done.
Dad brought mom to the baby shower.
Yeah.
And Uncle Larry came with Aunt Julietta.
Right.
You know, and they all, Dad and Uncle Larry immediately go into the back room to watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
I think golf was on. Or
sure.
Was at, so I sit watching it. Which point?
Were they smoking?
So the golfers were. At some point, you know, Suzanne pokes her head in and says, well, tell them to come on in. Ah, hey, Dad, Uncle Larry. You have the option of going into the baby shower, or you can sit here and watch TV and eat snacks. You want to guess which way that played out?
Well, they stayed and ate snacks.
Yeah, until almost the end, then they came in.
Okay. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
But baby showers is an interesting like throwback to the 40s or 50s, I think.
A little bit.
That it still sticks around.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it. You get free stuff.
Yeah. And if you're the victim or participant in it, you know, your job is to just sit there and take it.
Yeah.
And then, get, like you said, get the gifts for having a baby.
Cool stuff, yeah.
Set up shop with it.
Sure. Since they don't know what they're doing.
No, not a clue.
That's good.
And Jackie, it's Weather Girl Jackie who was on here the other day.
Right.
She's mildly petrified at the whole notion of having to raise a baby.
Okay, you know, in a kind of related field, our youngest brother, Brad, is now a grandfather.
Yeah, Grandpa Brad.
Grandpa Brad. And seeing him...
Holding a baby.
Does it make you nervous?
Yeah, at some point...
Because he knows zero about children.
Oh, I agree.
Nothing.
No, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I mean, that covers quite a few categories with him, but especially children.
I mean...
Had you ever seen him hold a baby or a child anywhere, any time in your life? Now I do hear.
What is that?
Why would you have that song?
That was Melanie.
Why would you even have that song, Rick?
I have that song because in setting up to do the show, I had Going Up the Country by Canned Heat,
yeah,
which was at Woodstock, and it was on an album of artists from Woodstock.
Okay.
And Melanie, who did Brand New Key, performed at Woodstock.
That song?
I think so.
No kidding. That doesn't really make any of the newsreels from Woodstock.
When they made the Woodstock movie, you know, all these different artists were there. Well, all these different artists are represented by different record companies and different agents and stuff, and they only had the rights to certain ones of them.
Oh, okay.
So if you
that all makes sense.
If you watch the movie about Woodstock, the original one, there's no mention of Creedence Clearwater, and Creedence played at Woodstock.
Yeah.
Melanie played at Woodstock,
right.
Was not in it. There were several different artists that were actually there that did not make the film. Sha-na-na was in the movie.
Oh, they were, okay.
Yeah, they did like one number. Sha-na-na was the most out-of-place act.
That was kind of weird. What were they doing there?
I have no idea how that came to pass.
Even more so than Melanie? All right. We're short on time here. I wanted to ask you a question. I talked about, you know, the guy that he made it his life's goal to visit every single national park.
National park, yeah.
But there are other people that have, you know, similar goals. Like they want to go to every baseball stadium in America, or go to every football stadium in America, or go to every presidential library in America.
Oh my God!
Yeah, those are the lesser known people. But yeah, if you were going to choose, you know, a selection of destinations that you wanted to see them all. What would they be?
Wow, good question. Excellent question.
What about the seven wonders of the modern world?
Well, I don't know what the seven wonders of the modern world are.
I don't either, but we need to find out. See how many we've been to and how many we want to actually go to. I mean, what are pyramids? They're the only remaining wonder of the original
world.
Right.
How many of them can you name?
The Lighthouse of Alexander, the Tower of Babylon, the Hanging Gardens.
The Hanging Gardens of Babylon is the same thing.
Okay. Tower of Babel, not one of them?
No.
See.
Okay, this is going to have to be a topic.
Will have to be.
And I think we need to discuss this whole business of things that, the things you nick off. Right now I'm in the process of nicking off all 50 states.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. How many you got left?
I am at 48.
Oh, no kidding.
And I'm going to Alaska.
Okay.
So that'll be 49.
Hey, but you've been to Hawaii. What's the other one that you haven't been to?
Idaho. And I can't think of any possible reason on earth to go to Idaho.
Can't think of a reason to go to Idaho. After we shut off the show, I'll tell you. Okay.
Why, you got a secret, something buried there?
Yeah, you know, I can't tell you right now. And then we'll get to it. But
you know,
but we need to wrap up the show because we're way over.
In getting these things ready to post, you know, I listened to them actually.
Yeah.
And there was one line that struck me, and it just made me laugh out loud when I heard it. We were talking about, have you ever dug a grave? And you said Dennis did. I said where? You said I can't tell you. Yeah, that one's just kind of been gnawing at me. What I've been wondering is if he actually buried something there or if he's got the grave ready to put somebody in it. And whether the somebody
is
me.
Rick.
Yeah, that's the part that worries me. All right, well, I guess it's that time. See you later from Rick Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal business firmly in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Accept no substitutes.
But there are any.